Okay, everyone, let's get this afternoon's session off then and get going. Are we okay with the recording? Yeah? Okay, so we're good to go. Okay, so obviously we now kick off with dealing with RFP, with this, the Section 3, which is currently in a number of tracks and has been led and coordinated by Greg on my right here, and he will pick up and deal with this again today. Bearing in mind that what I said this morning about the objective being the publication of a comprehensive first draft, which in essence converges us towards some form of single straw man, that's worth bearing in mind. And I think the way Greg's decided to handle this in consultation with us, the co-chairs, is to start off with a framework and remind us of what we intend to do here, which is essentially populate this framework. So let me hand over to you, Greg, and then we'll work with you to make sure we have a productive session.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, everybody, for coming back from lunch ready to work. As you can see up here, we have, instead of the straw man matrix, we really have the potential straw man result so far empty, but a single column, not a series of columns, and the goal will be to fill in each of these elements, you know, ideally, with a single alternative. Ultimately, we must fill in each with a single alternative. That is what will go in the end to the NTIA. So, you know, now is the time for us to begin, you know, thinking, you know, hard about what those ultimate alternatives we'll look at, which single alternative or combination, not yet fully fleshed out, we will start with. So keep this visual in mind, that this is our goal, is not to have multiple columns, but a single column. With that, we should, keeping that in mind, we should go to the straw man matrix in all of its multi-columnar glory. And begin our discussion.
Got a question from Alan.
Thank you. I guess I'd like to propose not a principle, but something to start with, and or at least not, if not propose, and ask around the table. I personally would like to see a solution to this that is as simple as possible. There are some very complex ones and ones that will be difficult to implement and perhaps difficult to actually make work. And I suspect there are simpler versions that will be as good as, and my target certainly is to do something as minimalist as possible that meets our targets. And I guess I'd like a feeling of the room, whether that's a general feeling or am I a loner here?
Well, I would respond that I believe that that is, you know, the general goal, I think, is simpler rather than more complex, but, of course, no simpler than one that will, you know, meet the needs or meet as many needs as possible. And I think that, you know, simple and workable are two things to keep in mind. I see Robert with a hand up.
Sure, this is Robert for the record. I'd like to echo Alan's comments. There's been a lot of work and a lot of comments that have put in the different proposals, and that's great. A simpler, less complex, workable, but also that meets the requirements set out by NTIA in the scope and time that we have available. I think some proposals, as I've mentioned on some of the calls, may be good for what this IANA may look like 20 years from now, but we're looking at something that's doable and also, though not mentioned in some of the calls, that also will stand the test of scrutiny not only by NTIA but also by Congress in the U.S. And so I'm all for, if it's possible, to maybe try to evaluate which of the proposals are out there that may have elements that are a little bit broader, and we may want to narrow them down and then have a focused discussion on those.
So that makes me I think this is useful to just spend just a couple of minutes on this, because it kind of frames the thinking, that the lens through which one then compares these different proposals and starts to think about it. And for me, there's an element of, you know, your long-term wish list, it's kind of nice to have versus need to have. And maybe nice to have can be got to over time, but need to have might get us through the gates short term. So I think it doesn't rule out the longer term nice to haves, and maybe that's a way of viewing this as well. Are there any other comments in and around these kind of the principles of the way in which we deal with this? Donna?
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin for the record. So I guess discussions that we've had, a smaller group of the GPLV registries, is, you know, we need to understand that what we're potentially replacing here isn't currently broken. And I think that's a, you know, that's an important principle for us. As registry operators, we want something that continues to be reliable and predictable. So we don't want to get into too many complications or make a process that's more complex and wieldy to handle. And I think the other thing is that the NTIA announcement is a realization that you know, the IANA function within ICANN at the moment is working, and the NTIA announcement is actually signaling that they're comfortable with the current arrangement. So you know, our focus is more on how do we replicate that or replace it, and we're certainly you know, we don't. I guess to Jonathan's point about a long-term goal, we don't necessarily disagree that there shouldn't be an option to take the IANA function out of ICANN, but that needs to be under a process of escalation, that if, you know, requirements or SLAs aren't being met, then that's a possible consequence of that.
Thanks, Donna. Are there other comments in and around this similar sort of theme? I see I've got Eduardo and Alan and ahead. Robert, is that an old hand? I think it's an old hand, yeah. So, Eduardo?
Thank you. This is Eduardo for the record. I wanted to comment that you know, in the mailing list that I have seen, the traffic, there's a big thing about if we have this function outside ICANN or inside ICANN. And I think, you know, we should talk about that and get a rough consensus about that, because really that will drive the rest of that information that we're going to have there. Thank you.
Alan?
Thank you. This is Alan McGilvish for the record. I'd just like to echo some of the sentiments that Donna raised. Actually, some of the CCs have also talked, and I think I'd like to go on record as saying we fundamentally are satisfied with the service we have today with IANA. It's not a problem that is broken. And we really, so for us, we're not coming with the objective of putting a big superstructure on this. It's about how do we ensure the continuity of this. And I guess, and for us, the first principle is always, you know, security, stability, and continuity of the DNS. Like, that, I don't think we can you know, this should be repeated as a mantra at the start of every meeting, almost like a prayer. So, actually, if I could, I'd like to offer one sort of comment or perspective on some, I want to call you, different characteristics of the CC community that perhaps distinguishes us from from the G community, which I think bear in mind, and certainly, for example, some of the comments Eduardo was making about is it inside ICANN or is it outside ICANN? And certainly a lot of the models that would have it outside ICANN would require the registries to finance it. Okay, and I think when we went through the excellent documents this morning, RFP 1, 2A, and 2B, we singled out the 5, 6, or 7 existing contracts that CCTLDs have with ICANN. The vast, vast, vast majority of CCTLDs do not have a contractual relationship with ICANN. They are not obligated to pay fees. The amounts that, so they're not called fees, they're contributions and they're voluntary. So I raise this to say that a model that is based on the registries contributing would be very problematic from the CC community because of our different nature relative to the Gs. So I wanted to point that out. Another characteristic of the CC community is that a large number of us are actually government departments, and they in turn have their own set of issues that perhaps are not shared by GTLDs. I know in the case of my own government, they have a policy that Canadian government officials cannot sit as directors on non-government corporations because of the liability issues that that raises. So they're not permitted to actually take a directorship. So if we were looking at models that, in an effort to be inclusive, would include CC registries on the board, that would be problematic from the perspective, I suspect, of other CCs in the community. So I just want to get some of those differences out, but then come back really to echo what Donna said. It isn't broken. We're just trying to make sure it continues in the way it's been operating in the past. Thank you.
Donna, you have a new hand?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Donna Austin for the record. I also want to make the point, too, that our understanding is that this transition doesn't move forward until, or any transition of the ANF function does not move forward until the accountability discussion is completed. And that's an important principle for us as well. We want to understand what the accountability discussion looks like and what impact that potentially has on any transition. So I think that's an important point to make too.
Donna, I think there's a connected point there, and we may want to be absolutely sure about this. I think it's the relevant and connected component of the accountability discussion, right? There may well be additional accountability work that's done, but there's a highly connected and relevant. Okay, so we are on the same page on that. Yeah.
That's what's called the first stream, I think, yeah. In some of the stream one. Amr.
Thanks. Hi, this is Amr. I've recently become more aware of the challenges with the CC community on the transition of the IANA steward. And I appreciate that, well, IANA's been functioning quite well and folks are pretty happy with it. But in transitioning the stewardship, we should also be mindful that the differences between separability and separation. I don't think anyone right now is proposing separation of IANA from ICANN in any way. But in transitioning the steward of the IANA function, we need to also make sure that the separability which exists now is also reflected during this transition. And I hope that we can move forward under that assumption.
It's interesting. When I hear that, I hear the sort of nice to have, need to have issue as well within that. Am I hearing that correctly in the sense that the capacity to separate might be ultimately a necessary, but it's not short-term need to have?
Well, no, I personally believe it is a short-term need to have separability, not separation. Yeah, just the ability to separate, but not necessarily. But I don't think anyone's been advocating separation now. But separability is an option. It always has been an option with the NTIA playing the role of the steward. and in transitioning the role of a steward, then this ability to separate should be maintained.
I understood you correctly, and you were clear enough. Thanks. Alan?
Thank you. I started this thread, and I'm pleased. I think I support pretty much everything I've heard everyone say, with the exception of what Amir said, in that separability is a methodology, a way of achieving something. I think we need to look deeper and see what it is we're trying to achieve, and are there other ways of doing it other than separability? The only reason in today's world that NTIA would separate IANA from ICANN were if we were not doing a job or not judged capable of doing the job properly and someone else could do it instead. And I think we need to fix that, make sure that problem can be addressed, that kind of problem can be addressed. But there may be ways to address it with equal viability and equal assurance without actually separating. That is, controlling ICANN, not necessarily separating it. And so I would not want as a premise something which says separability is required when there may be other ways of achieving why we might want to separate. Thank you.
Okay, just a reminder to use Adobe for putting your hand up if possible. Got a hand from Wolf Ulrich and then from Paul.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, Norman speaking. Just to the last point, that's how I understood this discussion is about separability. There was made reference every time to the fact that it is already in the existing contract anywhere. Place this so-called separability. The existing contract refers to the possibility that NTIA awards the contract to a different contractor, and that is what is understood under separability in this context. So I would say, if you understand it in that way, that means the function could be awarded in a kind of competitive way. That means, well, to impose a kind of pressure on the future contractor, IANA or whomever. If that is open to that, so I would agree to keep that in mind and to take that into consideration, rather than to think about to remove IANA from ICANN. Thank you.
This is Greg. I mean, just to respond to that, the way we've been talking about separability in this, at least in our subgroup, was a different concept than the one, Wolf Ulrich, that you just mentioned, although the concept you just mentioned was also dealt with. Separability was the idea that the IANA group could be airlifted out of ICANN and placed elsewhere in an independent entity. The idea that of having a term and a potential for an RFP or another way that a different contractor could be found, you know, with different assets, human and otherwise, is also, you know, a potential element of this, but not separability. Was not what we've been using the term separability to mean. So I think just in terms of discussion, probably helpful to look at separability as being the potential element of removing the IANA functions operator from ICANN, which I think would be based on a premise that no less disruptive solution could be found, which I think goes to what Alan Greenberg was saying, that if there's anything less nuclear than that, there should be, and it should be an element, as Donna said, of escalation. You know, this shouldn't be something that you just reach as your first solution. It's something that you reach after a series of escalations of discussions of ways to solve this through communication and improvement,
and then maybe another solution beyond complete before complete separation, and ultimately complete separation, which is kind of like secession of like the Confederate States of America, leaving the U.S. That's not the that's not usually the first solution people look for, is a massive cleaving of an organization into pieces. And I think when we get to this part of the discussion, there are also a lot of secondary issues with an ICANN without IANA and an IANA without ICANN. Some of those issues also arise if you have ICANN without an ICANN, without IANA, and some other organization, Company X, becoming the new IANA functions contractor. So I think that, coming back to the point, separability is this idea that it could be separated, that the IANA functions group could be separated from the organization, and we need to look at, the viability of that as a concept, and if it is a concept, under what circumstances. And also, I think, Amar, in the course of one of our earlier discussions, raised the issue of cost. Even separability raises cost. If you're going to create a completely self-sufficient walled-off group within ICANN that could be separated at a moment's notice, they would need to have all of their own independent assets and independent support functions devoted completely to them. I'm sure that, for instance, an IANA group does not have its own HR person, solely devoted to them. But if they were, put elsewhere, and if it was an independent entity and not put into some other organization, they would need to have all that. So would you want to have that on day one of the transition, say that they could share no resources with ICANN? And then I guess we have to talk about what separability means when we get to that point. So I think, that I'm getting a little bit into maybe ahead of the conversation.
Greg, that's what I was thinking. I mean, we've just to remind you guys, we're at 14:25. Looks like we're going to end up. I know I've got Paul, I've got Martin, I've got York, and the level at which we're trying to look at this, rather than go too much into the separability, separation, or a detailed point on that, is just saying what is reasonable to achieve, and that reasonableness is tested by a number of things. What will some of the parties bear? What will NTIA accept? What is the pragmatic lens with which the near-term solution can be achieved, as well as an awareness of some perhaps more, I don't want to use the word idealistic, but more longer-term desirable outcomes. So how we manage those, looking at it through those two perspectives. Paul, Martin, and then York, and then I think we've got to try and come into starting to work through the details. So Paul.
So Paul Kane, CC manager. I think we need to be very careful what we're trying to achieve here. We have 2 days in which we need to try and ensure as much stability in the current environment as possible. The existing system is working. What we need to do is make sure that we do nothing to break it. Discussion of separation, whilst it's always there, is possibly not helpful at this juncture, at this time. I and Yap and others have been spending decades trying to keep a universal internet. You would be surprised how vulnerable the universal internet is. The internet we have today is not universal. I think if one is starting to think about separating, the market you enter would be very different from the universal internet we all enjoy today. So I would like to advocate we keep it very simple, we keep it as it is today, and the CC community has recently conducted a survey. Including IDNs, 115 CCTLDs responded to the survey, of which 78% of the CC managers consulted or who replied to the survey wanted to keep as much stability as it is today, with IANA operated as a separate department with its own budgets within ICANN. Only 20-ish% wanted to see an alternative model. So what I'd like to advocate to this group is we keep it as steady as we can, using existing structures where we can, and lend our support to the ICANN-IANA model
that exists today rather than trying to break it off. Rest assured, if IANA fails to perform, there'll be many of us in this room that have the ability to actually really hold ICANN IANA's feet to the fire, technically as well as other things. So we are all on page, but we need to be careful what we ask for.
Thanks, Paul. Martin.
Martin Boyle. Mine was really just a follow-up to Greg's look at the separability point, because what he came out with seemed to me that here is an escalation process, and if we're going to look at escalation processes, then you need to have a fairly defined process, not necessarily now, but one that you're looking to develop at some stage moving forwards. Because if you don't have a fairly well-defined process, and in particular the triggers, you risk somebody going and pressing the president's button because it was there. But then you went on to talk about separability as having a cost, and it occurred to me for that bit that at the moment, under the statement of work and the existing contract with NTIA, the NTIA can re-tender the contract. It doesn't have to, but it can. And it's at that particular point, so in other words, having the power to escalate, and at that point you go through the tendering process, that you have in place the fact that the key functions can move, but it didn't necessarily seem to me that you had to put absolutely everything from ordering the staple machines through to having separate HR. So I just wanted to try and bottom that out in your thinking as to, you know, sort of exactly how far did you think that discussion needed to go?
Just to answer that, I think that looking at that as being an extreme, I'm not saying that. I think that if it's an extreme that has no support, and I'm not saying I support it, but if it's an extreme that has no support, we should, you know, take it off the table. That is, you know, some folks at some point, you know, were proposing essentially a completely, utterly self-contained, you know, even if it's only a division, still kind of being like a submarine. You know, that is an extreme. It's certainly not what it is today, and there is functional separation, and there's, policy separation and a lot of other types of separation, but there's not, you know, complete, you know, separation to the point that it could be spun out without, you know, tomorrow, without, you know, a lot of transitioning done. And there's nothing wrong with that, per se. So my point was just the point, if we go down the, what I've termed, for purposes of argument, enhanced separability, you know, at some point, if you enhance separability too much, you end up with all kinds of, you know, potential, you know, costs and difficulties. So that's kind of the point I'm at.
The last word in this sort of little introductory session goes to Jörg.
Jörg Schweiger, CCTLD manager. On separability, I think we just can't discuss it out of context, because the very point of separability might be in relation to the actual model we've been discussing. So, for example, if we are taking a closer look at Strawman proposal number one, then separability might be crucial just to model a redress process, whereas just in other models, separability might not be of a need. So I would strongly advocate not to discuss this very point right now and out of context, but within the given and the proposed models we are up to discuss later.
Thanks, I agree, and I thought I'd try to make that point earlier, because clearly for us this is about convergence, and what I thought we were doing very first off, which we've now done, tried to just air some principles, some concepts about where we're trying to get to. And so some of the points that we heard were very helpful in terms of thinking about what different parties might bear, what might be tolerable, what might have unforeseen consequences, and so on. So let me hand over to Greg to now try to systematically work. And I just encourage you all to think about, you know, convergence, reduction of options, removal of complexity, and driving towards, as far as is reasonable, solution-oriented thinking.
Thank you, Jonathan. Given where our discussion has gone so far, I think it would actually make sense to start our review of the straw man matrix with element number 4, which is the status of the IANA functions operator. Because that's kind of the bulk of what we've discussed in this introductory has already kind of touched on that. And I think that maybe an area where we can eliminate some of the things that are on the matrix, then, you know, work from there, you know, back to number one, and so forth. So in terms of, you know, 4, we have division ICANN, rather the IANA functions operator would remain as a division of ICANN, at least for the time being. Another alternative that's been floated was that IANA functions operator would be organized into a wholly owned subsidiary of ICANN, and the other was that it would become IANA Inc., literally on or as close to day one of post-transition as possible. I don't know. I think even under the straw man 4, which is, you know, the proposal that Aubrey put forth, it's still, that the IANA function remains with ICANN. So I don't know if there are any other alternatives that I don't believe there are any other alternatives other than these essentially 3 that are out there. And it seems to me that the IANA as an independent entity on day one, the sense of the room that I have is that there isn't support for that. So if there is strong support from that from any or support from a fervent support for that from anybody, I think now is the time to think about, to state whether you have that level of support for this element. For the alternative that IANA would be an independent entity immediately post-transition. It would be have no relationship to ICANN as, you know, on the entity level. So, you know, I don't see support for that, so I think we should eliminate that as a proposal unless anybody objects. So hopefully we've already made progress.
So how, when you say eliminate it, Greg, do you mean eliminate that entire column?
No, just to be clear, I view the elements as a kind of mix and match. So we could, while we eliminate that independently, and it was in, straw man 3, the other elements that are proposed, you know, potentially part of straw man 3 are still alive in their particular row. So just this particular, for this particular row, that element, that alternative is off the table.
A couple of hands come up. So just as a way of pure practicality, you'll see what's happened, that the online edit simply removes that now. And I mean, that's great that we can cross that full detail right away if we can. Let's hear from Malcolm and then Robert and then Matthew. Guys, we've got Malcolm on mic.
Thank you, Malcolm Hutty. I would think that form should follow function, so I would ask, what is the benefit of having this in a separate, as a separate subsidiary? What does it achieve that can't be achieved as well by one of the other routes? And if there is no good answer to that, then eliminate it and proceed through the other suggestions as well. steadily back towards leaving it as it is. If there is no good reason to create something new, then do what we've got. But the people that have suggested that there should be some new structure, I'd like to hear what it is, why they've done that, what it is they think that achieves. And if there is a good reason, then it should be retained as a possibility.
I invited support for it. Nobody seems to speak to it at all. So I don't know if we have anybody who would speak for this as being the alternative they want to see day one. But, Alan, I see your hand up.
It's Alan Greenberg. I'm not going to speak to it, but for those of us, for those who were not active in Group 3, these were not necessarily proposals of any single person. Greg stayed up one night and came up with a bunch of scenarios. So there may not have been anyone who proposed that, or there may have. But
really important point. So what we don't want to do is, if there is, if once it's to the test of the question, is spin our wheels on either rationalizing it or not. Great. Very helpful. I've got Robert and Matthew next. Robert.
This is Robert, for the record. This is more a logistical comment going forward. Just because there's folks in the room and people online, if you could just refer to the number or the point that's being eliminated. So in the case of where we are now, I think we're talking about 4A and the and column number 3 being eliminated. So if we put that on the record, then if people want to trace back, it'll just make it easier to trace back later. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Did we get that? The suggestion? Yeah, okay. I've got Matthew, and then I think Paul, your hand's up as well. Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Matthew Shear, CDT. Just to be absolutely clear, this does not preclude in any way the IANA function becoming an independent entity down the road. This is just for the proposal as of September 2015. Okay.
That's correct.
And just to speed things up, rather than doing it in a vertical fashion, may I suggest we do it in a horizontal fashion, so then we're just left with the elements. I think we might be doing that anyway, but just to expedite things.
Paul, thanks for that. And I'll clarify. That is my intention, is we're going to look at each of these elements horizontally, try to eliminate alternatives, and then move on to another element. The proposals vertically, are organized somewhat logically, but also somewhat for the sake of convenience, in that any given alternative, the winning alternative could come from any column. So in this case, the first losing alternative, this is kind of like one of those, it's a reality show like Chopped. at the appetizer stage of the competition, IANA as an independent company on day one has been chopped. So,
whilst that cultural reference may not be familiar to all of us, I think we get the point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Apologies for being U.S. TV centric, and also revealing what I waste my time with when I'm not doing this. In any case, I think we now have, what I would say, the remaining alternatives on this element 4A from straw man 1A and 4, there is ICANN remaining a division of ICANN. IANA remaining a division of ICANN, and then from straw man 2, the idea that IANA would be put into a subsidiary, we'll call it IANA Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of ICANN, with the idea that while it would be in that for legal purposes, as this proposal was put forth. For sake of argument, functionally it would remain largely the same as it exists today within ICANN, since technically being within a separate subsidiary doesn't necessarily mean that much has to change in terms of its day-to-day operation. The idea when this was put forth was that it could enhance or ease separability. So these are really kind of the two remaining alternatives. I see Paul's hand up, and then there are hands in the chat as well.
So just to emphasize, a division of ICANN, I think it would be prudent to highlight that it is a fully separate department, firewalled from ICANN operations with its own budget, as originally intended in the IANA model. Again, if I refer to the CC survey, 33% of CCs considered it to be an integrated part within ICANN. We need to make sure that there is functional separation and there is firewalled budgets and firewalled staff, etc. So it is fully independent. And I would thank you. The wording is going up. Appreciate it.
I think we've got a couple of old hands. If you could just check, I think Malcolm and Alan, you may be old hands, but if you're not, we'll come to you. I think Karina was next, yeah.
Thank you very much. We were discussing also whether the oversight body should be separated and an independent legal entity or not. Would it be appropriate first to decide if we really want a separate oversight body to then see the impact it would have on having an IANA operations function separated? There's not a first step and then a second step, because if we manage to get sufficient check and balance and filters at the level of the oversight body, we may not need to separate the IANA functions operator at all. So perhaps we should go one step backwards. Thank you.
Thanks. I think that we can look at that again. I think that, certainly the issue of what would be the rationale for a subsidiary versus the current department approach, should be looked at. And if one of the rationales is, concern about the composition of the oversight body or the separation of the oversight body, we can the two are linked. So I think we're not necessarily going to take all alternatives off the table on any one element before returning to any other one. This is a kind of a multifaceted branching process. But I think we can keep that in mind. With that said, it might be helpful at this time for those who support the subsidiary concept to bring out some of the reasons for their support of that concept.
Alan.
Thank you very much. I'll just point out to start with that whether you're a subsidiary or a division or a department, you can still share resources. There are all sorts of subsidiaries that have contracts with their parent to share resources and things like that. I guess I'd like to hear from anyone who is advocating the subsidiary model, what is it that we're gaining from it? In my experience, subsidiaries are often put together for tax purposes, and to be able to funnel earnings in one direction or another. I don't see any of that being relevant here, and I'm not sure what the benefits are of a subsidiary. The only one I have ever heard mentioned is if it's incorporated in a different jurisdiction than ICANN, it may be operating under different laws. And I've never been really sure if that's relevant. As a wholly owned subsidiary, it may still be subject to orders that ICANN gets and has to carry out. So I'd like to understand what the benefits are of a wholly owned subsidiary, other than having to pay a second audit bill and a second accountant's bills and stuff like that.
If we have any advocates for that, should certainly speak to that. And I see Elise's hand is up.
Thank you. It might be different laws and rationale for having this this subsidiarity model, and that's because we're sitting all over the world discussing this. So if you said it's only for tax reasons, we haven't discussed that. But I think, not to undermine the political aspect of putting forward a model, that also would make it possible for a separation in the future, like a legal separation in the future. And maybe that would be, I heard what you're saying about costs and also about the technicality that might, so it might not be possible even if we want to in the future, but that's for the future to see. So we have to put forward a model and be aware of the political issues in this and see it from the outside of this group, how it's seen, and maybe then the subsidiarity model will in a way ease more those who think that the physical functions or the separability should also be in a legal sense in the future, more than just a technical issue. So I think to throw it out now, it's a bit early. So I would advocate to keep it there. Maybe we could do, as Camina said, go through what is actually the differences between the subsidiarity concept or just being a department under ICANN. But I'd like to have a bit more work on it before we throw it out.
Just to be clear, I'm not looking to throw it out yet. What I'm looking for is actually the opposite, which are a substantive understanding of what the subsidiary model would add. What's the rationale? What would be the rationale for having IANA in a subsidiary?
And my comment is then that we should look more into that. And I don't think we have the answer here as we speak now.
I think now is the time we have to really have these answers. It's been on there for some time. So I think we need to at least have a sense of why it's worth discussing before we... I'm not saying we throw it out, but I don't think we can keep things alive without rationale for much longer. Anything that has a rationale, you know, we need to understand the rationales and ultimately find ways to... ideally, we find ways to satisfy the rationales that are being advanced for different elements and find a single solution for them, which is ultimately what we hope to do, rather than just throw alternatives out wholesale and end up with an alternative being chosen, without any change. I expect that there will be evolution of alternatives to meet needs that are identified. But again, the question is, why do we need a subsidiary? And that's not to say we don't need a subsidiary. That's to say, what need is it addressing?
So there's a queue building. We've got Alan's been patient, and following him, we'll have got Robert, Jorg, Olivier. So, Alan McGillivray.
Thank you. It's McGillivray, for the record. I'm not an advocate for this, but because I read the list, I'm aware of some of the background for where this originated. And I believe, and I don't want to, actually attribute it if I'm not 100% certain, but I believe this comes from our colleagues in New Zealand, where they have structured their registry as a wholly owned subsidiary of Internet New Zealand. And I believe they see in that it has to do with separating policy from operations, this whole separation issue. So I think they feel that imposes a formality in the relationship that might not be there if it were a division. All right. So I believe that's where this comes from. I, like others who have spoke before me, still would like to understand, is there value in this increased complexity? Okay. And I think Paul spoke very eloquently for the need for enhanced firewalls around IANA as a division, and I think that we can achieve much of what the objective of a separate entity, a separate legal entity even within ICANN, through other measures which we're going to talk about later. All right, and I know this is part, I guess it's the difficulty of going horizontally as opposed to vertically, but I think that the separation of policy from operations, which I believe is the genesis of this idea, can be achieved through other measures, and I feel that this is a complexity and a cost that is not really that I haven't heard the justification for. Thank you.
Robert Guerra.
This is Robert for the record. Maybe adding to, we share a lot of the same sentiment with Alan in regards to cost and the complexity issue. And so what I'm going to speak to is what I try to remember from the conversations on the list. I think one of them, this was triggered, I think, as I would say as well, from the conversation with the colleagues from New Zealand, but also if IANA were to separate, it would be in a far more ready state to separate because it's kind of already separate. So it wouldn't have to set up a board anymore. And so it would already be, in a way, it could be pieced out and start anew a lot easier than if it were a division. So I think some of that was being mentioned as well.
Just make a quick response to that. I mean, in terms of commercial practice, I mean, a typical situation was you might... If you were to move a business from one place to another. You can either buy and transact the company, which is what, in a sense, that point you talk to, the separability, you would take the company, the subsidiary out, or you can buy the business and remove the business. So to my mind, they are, providing we've got, as we've got in the column left, that we've got a division which is identifiable and using separate resources, in my analogy, you could buy the business. You could transfer the business to another provider. So just to present that thought. Do you want to respond again, Director?
I just wanted
Robert,
to
go ahead and
follow
then we'll
up.
Come
so
to
I
your
think Bolivia where we're moving now, which is what are the attributes that we're looking for, is a good way to have the conversation.
So, Jörg?
Actually, Jörg, for the record, not advocating subsidiary, but I could very easily speculate from where it comes from. So one reason could be mistrust of ICANN, and one part of that is because we're talking about accountability. One further speculation would just be just for the sake of controllability, and for example, the CCs talked very intensively about their contributions to ICANN and what is ICANN really rendering for them as a service. And if we would have a subsidiary, then control of that function, that mechanism, would be a lot easier. Movement of this company or this function would be a lot easier. So what we are in need to do, I think, is we should try to rule out that the reasons I just gave couldn't be accomplished by any other mechanism. And what Jonathan just said, I think, leads to the right direction. Of course, if we take a look at the left column, then there we might have a solution. We might have a mechanism to address those speculations that have just been given.
So I'll just note that in the notes of this, the note taker has put moving out could be an attribute. So to Robert's point of what are the attributes, a movability is an attribute. Olivier?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan. Olivier Capanablon speaking. So for the sake of argument and not saying that I'm supporting this in any way, I have been thinking about, I think enhanced separability might be one of the reasons why one would want to have a subsidiary. It's already been mentioned, actually, and I've also thought of a political location of the subsidiary. In other words, a subsidiary could be based in Switzerland, for example, thus giving a political indication that this is an international function that is outside the United States, to be frank. So that might be some of the reasons that might be put forward by people who advocate a subsidiary component.
Thanks. Eduardo?
Thank you. This is Eduardo for your record. I think, we're talking here about subsidiary and the IANA functions, and I think, the main discussion that I will have, and this is just a suggestion, is who is the ultimate authority that decides what to put in the root zone or not? Is it the IANA operation or is somebody else? Because here we're talking mostly about, if we have the operation moving here and there, right? Does that mean that that ultimate decision stays with that, even within the subsidiary?
At this point, we're not talking about the sort of authority, it's really the functional location, or am I misunderstanding your question?
Well, what I'm saying is, this is Eduardo again, the NTIA now is the one that has the ultimate authority of deciding what goes into the root or not. Here we're not talking about that, here we're talking about the operation being somewhere else. And my question is, while we talk about who is the ultimate authority, within the, when we do this transition. And then we can, maybe this will resolve if it stays where it is or go somewhere else. I mean, that's a suggestion. Thank you.
Operationally, I'm not sure it's quite right to say that the NTIA is the ultimate authority of what goes into the root. Now, they perform a check function, but I don't believe they function as kind of an ultimate authority. I think that they're there to watch out for either something that's technically not quite right in the delegation, or conceivably also for something that looks like mischief or malfeasance. But other than that, and obviously, you know, those who are more involved in this operationally, happy to, you know, be corrected or clarified. Other than that, I don't believe they really function as ultimate authority, nor I believe does IANA in a sense function as the ultimate authority. They're in a sense taking direction, you know, subject to those directions, you know, being, you know, coming from legitimate sources. Eduardo?
Well, then I'm confused, because what I have read is that, you know, if NTI doesn't sign off on the actual thing, putting in the route, it doesn't happen. I don't know if it has happened before, but it doesn't happen. So to me, that's the ultimate authority.
I guess it's a different way of looking at what the words ultimate authority mean. I mean, they perform a check function, and they can say, no, this something's wrong here. We're going to hold this and figure out, you know, what's wrong. And it might just be something as simple as a technical glitch in the instructions. You know, they're not making a value judgment, as far as I understand.
A couple of points or thoughts on process before we move on. I mean, one option might be we've put something we've put the, on the status of the IANA functions operator area where we had the independent entity. We've colored that in red. In other words, it's pretty much off the table. It might be worth thinking about whether we have some other colors, you know, like an orange where it seems to have, or yellow where it has limited support. So currently, subsidiary of, it's what I talked about square bracketing earlier, currently subsidiary of ICANN has some support, but it may be worth, for example, putting that in yellow. The other thing I'd say is, you know, this is all work in progress, and we will come back to some of these issues again. I mean, I think I heard Camino and maybe even Eduardo and others talk about, you know, when we look at another area, it may impact. So some of this might be iterative. So let's be a little careful about any final conclusions we come to, because this really is work in progress. So just because something's yellow now may not mean that when we've looked at a related point. So whilst I've been the greatest advocate of, you know, progress, that, you know, I'd be the first to say, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, let's walk out with a solution. But on the other hand, let's be a little careful of rushing ourselves to saying we've got to a conclusion here in terms of our assumption amongst one of ourselves or even any communication with colleagues outside. So, all right, did you have another point you wanted to make, Lisa?
No, well, that's just about the one you say, that the way we communicate with people outside, please be careful on the wording you're using, because on the tweet, it's very easy to misunderstand if you kind of take things out of context. So please not to put unnecessary pressure on this process. Be aware of what you're tweeting, please.
I guess the social media policy is needed. I think I see Donna. Donna has patiently had a hand up, and then
Alan got skipped over earlier.
Okay,
so we got to make sure we don't.
Is Alan still in Adobe?
Yeah, I think Alan, and then we'll move over Eduardo to Donna, because Eduardo's had his place.
Thank you. I thought there was a new tradition formed of always skip over Alan. Three points. Number one, purely administrative. Some host is periodically, when people put up their hand, a little request comes up saying accept the hand. If you answer accept, it changes the hand into a microphone and takes you out of the queue. Please stop doing that. What I'm hearing here, at least my interpretation of it, is the real only benefit we've identified for a wholly owned subsidiary essentially is optics. How it looks, perhaps how it looks because of where it's stationed, where it's constituted. And if those are indeed the only option, then this doesn't have to be one of our things we consider now. Sometime later, closer to the end, we decide, should it be a subsidiary or should it be a division? Because if there's no real difference other than the optics, we don't have to decide it now. And that was the point I was going to try to make. Thank you.
Donna.
Thanks, Donna Austin, for the record. I guess this is, I don't know, try to get this straight in my mind. So subsidiary makes sense if, you know, the intent is to change jurisdiction or do something of that ilk. But if this is in there as an escalation option, that doesn't make any sense to me, because if the current IANA is not performing up to a certain standard level, then this doesn't assist really in that process, because essentially you'd be taking the same body to do the same job, and if they're not up to the job, then you wouldn't take that body anyway. So I don't know whether that's the intent or not, but it's just something that if some of the idea behind this was escalation, then I don't know that it necessarily works.
I'll just respond to that, and it comes up a little bit later when we're talking about in one of the later elements about escalation or breach and redress. The idea here, I think, or at least as I put it forth for sake of argument, was that this would be separated, that the IANA function group would be separated from ICANN if the group itself was functioning well, but ICANN and its relationship to the group was somehow not functioning well, and that in order to save the IANA function group from ICANN, it needed to be removed from the body. But I agree that if the IANA function group becomes dysfunctional as a group, then, you know, that doesn't solve, having it as a subsidiary doesn't solve that problem, because at that point you're looking for a fresh start with a new set of, you know, people and resources, or at least maybe a new set of people. They may take, you know, some of the hard assets and reuse them, but you know, the subsidiary doesn't, you know, do that. And in terms of jurisdiction, assuming for the moment we're talking about the same, you know, humans in the organization, unless we would ask Elise and her staff to move to Switzerland, which I have seen done in some corporate transactions for tax sake. I worked on a transaction where most of the folks who were working for a particular company had to choose to either lose their jobs or move from England to the Netherlands in order to get, Dutch tax treatment. I don't think this is – so I think we can't really put them in Switzerland and have them stay in Los Angeles all at the same time. There may be technically ways that you can do that, but it hardly seems to be. At that point, you're creating all sorts of Potemkin villages, just for the sake of optics. And the last thing we need is to create unnecessary complexity that has no substantive value. At least that's my view. If somebody would like to argue for that, I'm always, you know, that the mic is open. I see that we're building up a queue again, so I will stop talking. And Don, is that a new hand or an old hand? The first new hand would be Matthew Shears.
Actually, Greg, I think you've said a lot of what I was going to say. But also, I think, we're making between 1 and 2 and 4 now, if we're taking out the independent entity for the moment. 4 is the closest one to what we have at the moment, actually. If you think about subsidiary or division in ICANN encompassing a body that does the IANA function, 4 is the one that reflects the fact that it is a contract, that contract can go to another entity if necessary, that it isn't a division it isn't actually the assets within ICANN that would be moved as a part of that, conceivably. So I think that there are actually some significant differences between those remaining 3 models. And I guess I wonder if when we're talking about a division or a subsidiary, we're building something on top of an existing function that perhaps is unwarranted. And I think we have to be very careful about that. Thanks.
Right. Right. I think if you look at 4, there, you know, as now it refers to the trust reassigning the functions, but I think that if we kind of eliminate the trust concept from that, make it more generic so that it can be, you know, a horizontal concept that could be assigned to different structures, that is really kind of what you're talking about. And I think, frankly, the division, department division of ICANN is really not intended to be terribly different from that. I think it's partially a matter of when things were drafted. So I think as we've kind of added a little more meat on the bones of things, and I think that currently, whether you'd use the term department or division, what we currently have is, as I said, it's firewall that has its own budget, which in many organizations, what you call something with its own budget, you call it a division. other places. You might call it a department, so I don't want to get into semantics. But I think that, you know, maybe we can look at both kind of 1, 2, and 4 ultimately as meaning the status quo, essentially, perhaps with, you know, some examination of whether there's anything that needs to be done, you know, to improve the possibility of separation at some later time, but without, you know, upsetting the apple cart. I think, Elise, I think you are the next hand.
No, thank you. No, it's just a comment in line with what you said, Donna. It is, I hear more than this being optics when I had the discussion, but it's probably, as I said, we are discussing whether or not movement of this function will be easier if it is a subsidiary than a division. So, and I don't know if anyone is actually has a rationale or have a reason for wanting that. I'm just saying that it is elements that might be different from the two, and that movement of the IANA function is for someone probably, or the possibility of having it moved could be a point they want to keep. So yeah, but I don't think we have to decide anything now. But I think it is basically about movement. Thank you.
Jörg?
Jörg, for the record, I'm not too sure whether I'm tracking back too far, but actually it has been said that subsidiary is just a matter of optics. And I would disagree to that, because just imagine that the IANA function as a subsidiary would be located in a totalitarian regime, or just imagine any state, and then imagine what kind of influence we might have on this operation. So there is obviously something to the idea of subsidiaries. And okay,
if I could respond, I think what's been stated is that the only rationale that's been identified is optics. The effect of putting it in a subsidiary could be quite dramatic and substantial, but the rationale so far, you know, that has been advanced is mostly optics, unless, again, there was some other effect that people wanted to have, such as actually moving the function outside of the United States, which would probably mean putting new people in the function, which would probably have, you know, potential security and stability effects as any transition would have. But, you know, so far, you know, as we say, we're not going to eliminate anything for which there are strong rationales. So at this point, we're trying to eliminate, you know, to look for rationales. Ultimately, you know, even things with rationales that don't have strong support will be eliminated or, you know, cannibalized for their best bits to be put into other alternatives. But, you know, right now, that's the thing. And I would just, you know, for one other thing to say that, you know, as Alan pointed out earlier, subsidiaries can often have a lot of shared support and resources with their, you know, parent company and affiliates. So that doesn't, if that were the case, that really doesn't enhance separability, because you still have all of the unwinding issues that you have with a department or a division. And to go with what Robert said, that, you know, the fact that you'd have a subsidiary that would have its own board, typically a wholly owned subsidiary's board looks far different than it would if that same company were an independent entity. Typically, there are a lot of insiders on a subsidiary board that you would, you know, by insiders in this case, that would mean ICANN people or the like, who would not be on that board if it were an independent entity. So you'd have to probably reconstitute the board of any subsidiary. In any case, you know, looking at this generically as a corporate spin-out, the board would have to be reconstituted anyway, so I don't know what you save. Again, I'm not trying to knock it off, but you know, in my day job, I do corporate and technology transactions, so I have some experience with some of these things. So I just bring that up for what it's worth. I think Olivier is the next hand.
Yeah, thanks very much, Greg. It's Olivier speaking.
The ALAC Working Group on INA Issues has conducted a poll between the time those Strawman were published, admittedly without Strawman 4 being included in the list in the poll because it came after the poll had started, and the majority of the members of the working group favored Strawman 1. I thought I would have to advise you of that. Now, there was a mention of Strawman 4 being close to Strawman 1, and I do see a significant difference between the two on this specific issue, in that in Strawman 4, there is an external entity that would reassign the functions to another entity, whilst in Strawman 1, there is no external entity when we have to find an entity or some way of our some process by which there could be a reassignment if there was to be a reassignment.
Well, just to respond briefly to that, in Strawman 1, there is the external entity, which is the committee. It's just in a different box in the Strawman. And it's just, and there is the capability of reassignment and term, you know, a limited term to the agreement. It's just not in this box. It's just there happens to be a little bit more detail that's been put into this box in Strawman 4, but those elements do exist vertically in the other Strawman. I don't think any of the Strawman that are up here now contemplate IANA in perpetuity and indissolvable from IANA and ICANN. So it's I think it's all there, that concept that there is an option of recompeting and rebidding and moving to a better operator, if there is a better operator to be had, because if IANA turns into an undesirable operator. I see Alan with a microphone, which might be a mutated hand. Paul is in the queue.
So thank you very much. Can I suggest we do sort of press on, because there's a fair bit to go through. I just would like to emphasize, though, how fragile the foundation is to an authoritative internet. There is a hints file which would take 0.1 milliseconds to change. If, for example, one were to go to a regime that was undesirable, decide you have a separate IANA somewhere else, IANA somewhere else, it is a very dangerous thing. So trying to create and sustain the universal internet should be our goal. And I'm very worried that the concept of having a separate entity doing a very simple task, which ICANN and IANA have done for a number of years and proven to do a good job, I'm really quite worried that the messaging that might get out is that people are talking about breaking away. I urge that we just try and focus on keeping the status quo, enhancing what we currently have and making it more accountable to us as a user community. The other point I would just like to enhance is the separability, the having your own staff element. There is an opinion that staff can be shared, particularly technical staff. I would advocate that the IANA should have its own technical staff, simply because we don't want IANA tasks to go behind ICANN technical tasks. We need to make sure when something needs to be done technically, IANA has the technical resources to be able to address it. So I think we should press on, and I love the idea of these different colors, but can we please try and keep a very fragile internet integrated, universal, and available to everyone?
So thanks, Paul. Are you advocating that we actually, because I think what we need to do to accommodate that, and I saw a few nods around the room, to put independently staffed now into column one.
So I would like to make sure that the budget that is assigned to IANA is sufficient for IANA to run its function fully,
yeah.
Which means funding for staff, funding for, it's two people that run the root service, two people. They might need a third techie. We're talking about nothing. So I think it's important that we make sure it has a budget assigned to it by ICANN that is ring-fenced, firewalled, and it can deliver a robust service to us, the community.
Thank you, Paul. I I think we probably discussed this particular issue as much as we can in isolation. As indicated before, we can certainly come back to it and look at what the how it might be affected by other decisions that are made, as this is an iterative process. But I see Alan with a hand and a microphone.
Yeah, if I could get rid of the microphone, I would. I can't. Someone else may have the ability. I think we want to be careful with words here. If we were going to share staff between ICANN or IANA, a separate subsidiary or a division, IT is probably the last ones I would share. I agree on that. On the other hand, payroll and accounting, I'm not sure we need private people for. So I wouldn't say separate everything, but it's got to be done properly and pragmatically to protect the internet that you're talking about.
What did you say, operational stuff? That's what we mean, isn't it?
I suspect operational staff does map to what we're talking about. But I'm not 100% sure, but you may well be right.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier speaking. So just building on what Paul Kane has said earlier, I would say a separate guaranteed budget for number one. If ICANN only has $5 left in its bank account, I want it to go to IANA. I think that's probably what we're looking for.
Not the travel budget? But I think with this, we'll draw this to a close for a moment, and I think that it makes sense to move, you know, back to the top of the chart to the creation of an oversight committee body function. And so, as was indicated, those are probably these two are probably interlinked to a certain extent. Plus, this is, you know, obviously another core concept. So, if we could clear hands, so we can start fresh. Alan, Olivier, I don't know if those are new hands or old. Great. We have here again four alternatives that have been put forth. You know, we've been over them a couple times on the call, at least 1, 2, and 3. 1A, which was circulated by Stephanie Ducheneau on behalf of a group of registries, or if not the registry group, is basically, as you would guess from being numbered 1A, an edited, enhanced version of and somewhat changed version of Straw Man 1, which, you know, makes reference specifically to not only developing the SLA and overseeing and enforcing compliance with the SLA, and this is a point I think that's a particular note in terms of how this would work, contracting with an evaluator to perform the authorization for changes to the root zone previously performed by the NTIA. So the view here is not that the committee itself would perform that evaluation function, but that an evaluator would do so. And I would like to actually put Stephanie on the spot a little bit and ask maybe for some clarification of what the evaluator would be. Is independent? What type of organization or individual might that evaluator be? And again, how would that evaluator kind of be controlled or not by the committee? Because this may be an issue. The evaluator concept may be a concept that's also applicable to some of the other straw men. Thanks.
Sure. So I don't think we had gotten too much into fleshing out what the actual evaluator looked like, but one analogy that was used was something similar to what we currently have for the registry service evaluation process, where there are, if something is determined to have to go to a technical panel, there are people with the expertise that can be called upon to make those determinations. It would, at this stage where these root zone changes are happening at a much greater frequency, it might have to be closer to standing right now, and it would require quite a bit of knowledge in terms of the different processes the underlying policies for both ccTLDs and gTLDs, but in terms of the structure, we hadn't gotten too deep into that. And I think similar to how your straw men were just really jumping off points, that's something that would merit further discussion.
Thanks. Donna?
Yeah, thanks. Donna Austin for the record. Just to add to what Stephanie has said, I think the evaluation part was put in recognition that the straw man, that the three that were on the table didn't actually address that element that is actually performed by NPIA at the moment, which is the authorization role. So this was our attempt to just flag that this needed to be addressed in the straw man proposal. And I think it would be an ongoing role, particularly with the new GTLDs. I think there's with delegations, redelegations, or delegations per se, there's more activity in the G space at the moment. And I think to the possibility of a panel, I think that's something that Kurt also referenced, is that you need kind of a backup. So if the evaluator gets to a point where they're not certain that, in terms of the checklist, that what they think should have been performed was actually performed, then there's a secondary person or party that they can go to get a second opinion.
Thanks. Martin Boyle.
Thanks very much. Martin Boyle here. I must admit, I start off with a sort of uneasy feeling whenever I see something going in that looks to me a little bit like a gatekeeper. And in this particular case, I'm wondering what you could do to make sure that it wasn't a gatekeeper. Because it would seem to me that the decisions are being made and the accountability on accuracy has to be with the registry concerned, because that's the thing that's being changed. If you now put an evaluator in, the evaluator needs a certain skill set to be able to do this. And he needs to be able to respond very, very quickly. And he also needs to be entirely independent of the system, and therefore is going to be able to make a careful and balanced judgment. And that bit, I'm actually really struggling with understanding what a man in the middle is actually going to achieve for ensuring the validity of the system. The US government has been doing it. It's been doing a historical role. That's part of one person's time. I even have some doubt as to how carefully they were doing it. They were relying on people actually having done and policed it themselves. So, a lot of questions I have on exactly how this evaluator role would be seen and could be fitted in such a way that didn't destabilize sometimes very urgent requests.
Thank you, Martin. I think that brings up a question that's been discussed a bit on the list. Not sure that we had satisfactory answers. Really kind of a two-part question. I think people here may know the answers, at least to the first one, is, what exactly is that current part of a person at the NTIA doing? And, is that really needed at all? Some have suggested it should just go away, that it is a vestige of a prior time, and that it's, when cars were first invented, it was a law in the United States that a flagman had to walk on foot in front of the car, waving a big red flag, and so that the horses wouldn't be scared. as you know today, the role of the flag manager has long since been put to rest. So the question is this person at the NTIA, this function, like that flag man, or does it still provide an important function that at that level? I don't know the answer. I don't know if there is an answer, but it's certainly something we should consider, that whether we are replacing something just because it's there, and rather than replacing something because it performs an essential function. Any thoughts on that? Stephanie, I see your hand and your face.
I suppose to reiterate the point that we had meant for what the actual evaluation to look like to be open. We do also, it was deliberately not stated that the evaluator had to be independent. It could be, you know, someone from the council's office within ICANN if the functions are to remain there.
Just to come back to you, when you say the council's office, that makes me think of a lawyer, of which I am, and I don't think that I'm qualified to do what the part of a person at the NTIA is doing, although I'm an entire person, so I'm maybe overqualified in that sense. Maybe that gets to the point of, what is this person doing? Is it a technical function? Is it a legal function? Is it a clerical function? Is it really no function at all? Donna, Austin.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So I guess going to Martin's point in the discussion that we've had, we haven't had any substantive discussion around understanding what this authorization role is, whether it needs to be replaced. So maybe for the purposes of this exercise, it's a put it in orange, and it's something we need to come back to, because we really haven't had substantive discussion around it. We don't understand exactly what NTIA does now in this role, so maybe we just need to do some more research and data gathering first.
I see Alan McGillivray with the next hand.
Thank you, Greg. Alan McGillivray for the record. There was some discussion on the list around what exactly is this NTIA function. Is it simply substantive, making sure that all of the boxes have been checked out by a clerk, or does that person actually go and consult with the Secretary of Commerce to make sure, you know, to do an in-depth review? There were varying views of that. The sense I had is it's more the former, but I took it upon myself to send Fiona Alexander just a question on behalf of this group to ask if they could provide some clarity as to what exactly that function is, and she has undertaken to get back to me on behalf of the committee. She hasn't done so yet. It's still early. I sent it about 2 days ago. So if and when I get that back, of course, I'll share it with the community. But right now, a lot of what we're doing is a debate on what exactly is it, and therefore we have to replace it. So I don't know how productive it can be at this point. Thanks.
So maybe we shouldn't linger on this, since apparently this function is so either obscure or highly secret that nobody seems to know what it is. So I think we can move off that point for the moment, go to the larger points on this element 1A, which is the question. But I see Alan Greenberg's hand up next. And Yop, and then, but Alan first.
Yeah, thank you. I don't think we're asking the right question here. I don't think we're at the right question is, what are they doing? I think the question is, what does their place in the process do? And perhaps more than what they are doing, since they haven't often said, oops, you can't do this, there's a threat involved. There's the knowledge that someone is looking, and that knowledge that someone is looking and could take action probably has a larger effect on the process than what they are actually, what actions they are taking at the present.
Fair point, Alan. Yeah.
Yeah, I've put it on the mail list as well. I mean, I'm not optimistic to getting any answer from Fiona about this, because we tried it 3 years ago and had the same answer you got up to now. with. And but the, in the root scaling report, you will find actually a paragraph about the best we can understand how what NTA was doing in respect to changes with the root sauna, and this is quite a couple of paragraphs describing what's going on there. So we might want to have to take a look at it. I will find the proper section later on. And the other thing what NTIA is doing is helping out, which is, this is not in the contract, and but this is one, it is helping out when effort problems are arising with to deal with OFAC. OFAC is this part of the Foreign Office dealing with verboten organizations and persons. And they help out being the in-between, trying to get things arranged and to speed up the process. So that's one of the... But anyway. But yes, have a look at it. I'll find and probably post the root scaling section where it's actually described what it's doing. And I mean, actually operational, it's not a lot. It's more just before anything is happening.
Before I go to the next hands, I'm conscious that we have actually only 7 minutes left in this section, so we'll need to get to some more big issues, on a somewhat more rapid pace than we are right now. I see Peter Van Roste's hand.
Thanks, Greg. Peter from Center. I have so much lag on the network that by the time I see my hands raised on the Adobe room, we're already on the next section. I welcome the fact that now we have colored this section yellow. I support Martin's concerns with the role of an evaluator and what that role would bring. I take on board the fact that there are still some unknowns. But I would also like to link this to any further discussions that we might have on the automation, because that goes hand in hand with that, and it could actually remove most of the discussion from this section. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. I see Malcolm Huddy. And Paul, you've got a hand up in here somewhere as well.
I can be very quick. Earlier, the chairman encouraged us to endorse points without repeating them when we agreed with them. So plus one to what Alan said.
Thank you. Olivier?
Thank you, Greg. Olivier speaking. And with regards to those unknown functions that the U.S. government might be currently undertaking, I thought about one possible thing that they might do to stop a redelegation of a CCTLD. Let's say an unnamed country's court decides that the TLD has to be transferred because it is property. The NTIA might have blocked such a transfer if it goes against the overall processes that are used for CCTLD redelegation.
That case has gone the other way now, by the way. Elise?
And that's
Paul
only one
Hanning.
Country. There could be other countries.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you. I just want to echo Alan on his comment that we shouldn't underestimate the discipline that the NTIA contract today gives on the performance of IANA. So I think that this is something that we should, to some extent, this is something that we're seeking to replace in this process. Also, not just the technicality and what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I think that is a very, very important point made by Alan.
Yeah. I'll just respond briefly on that in some of the earlier conversation on the list, there's at least two levels, if not more, of oversight. There is this, this technical check mark that, but there's also the point that you made, and above that are the even larger accountability of ICANN issues. But I think the point, Elise, that you made, that there is something more than just a mere check-the-box oversight that's taking place is an important one to keep in mind. I see Paul Kane and then Alan McGillivray.
I'll be exceptionally brief. If one's focused on the 1A proposal, I see developing is grayed or grayed out as a new addition. May I suggest one references existing SLA thresholds, because they're already in the contract, rather than developing new ones, because the existing ones are more than adequate and are already reported very efficiently by IANA on a monthly basis.
Thanks, Paul. Let's see, do we have any hands left, or are these all old hands? I have Malcolm, Elise, and Alan McGillivray, but I'm not sure if any of these are...
Yeah, mine was...
Okay.
Mine was new. This is Alan McGillivray for the record. Actually, maybe Paul already captured this, but I think going to Elise's point about looking to discipline the operational performance of IANA, I absolutely, this is one of the objectives that we're trying to achieve here, and I don't think there's any debate on that point. So, thanks.
I guess before we move on, in terms of what we've been discussing so far, is there anything that people see here that they believe could be turned yellow, that for which there is limited support? And I realize we haven't really discussed Straw Man 4, and I do want to, you know, take at least a moment on that in this element. But if there's anything else that's kind of yellow or readable, it would be good to consider it briefly right now. I'll take that as nothing kind of comes to mind yet. I think what's important...
Yeah, thanks. I actually just have a question regarding the committees in Strawman 1 and 2. Seeing that those are committees within ICANN, is it possible that they could make decisions that are not ratified, for example, by the ICANN board? Wondering.
I guess I would say that it's not necessarily, these are not necessarily committees within ICANN. It's not stated what these committees would be, that they may just be loose associations of organizations, but if they are kind of stocked from the ICANN SOs and ACs, then to some extent they are functioning in the ICANN universe, but that doesn't mean that they are committees of ICANN. They could be independent, unincorporated associations, you know, which raises its own set of concerns. I don't know if, Stephanie, in your view, the committee you were proposing was an ICANN committee or just a freestanding committee.
It was freestanding.
Just reminding you, we're at the time now, so we need to take the last couple of points and then try and get Greg to wrap up where he thinks we've got to in this session. So we just need a minute or two, and we should draw a line under things.
I see Donna.
Thanks, Greg. Donna Austin for the record. I guess just on Strawman Proposal 4 in this section, I think there's elements of every suggestion that could easily go in onto, you know, developing and entering SLAs. I think there's other components there that could be of value, you know, if we adopt something like Strawman 1. So I don't think the bullet points in particular is what I'm thinking of.
Thanks, Donna. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg speaking. My take is I don't see a lot of difference between the various organizations, and if there's no difference, then, again, let's go for simplicity. I think the real issue comes down to what I think Amr has said of what if this group says something and the ICANN board vetoes it? You know, the classic, you know, the board has gone rogue. They don't like stability anymore or whatever. And what authority do they have to fix that, to fix it? And so the question comes down not how is this committee organized, but what tools do they have to fix a problem if they are not allowed to be effective?
That's a good question. I think, and this may be a good stopping point in part because we do have to stop on the schedule. My view is that the power that these have would likely be a contract with ICANN, would be replacing the NTIA contract with a contract, that these are seen as outside bodies, and that they would have a contract with ICANN, which they could enforce. currently, you know, SOs and ACs don't have a contract with an ICANN. They just have the ICANN internal mechanisms to try to enforce, you know, what they believe is right. But I think there are, you know, some, you know, considered differences between these, and I think we need to begin where we're leaving off, which is, you know, separate incorporated organization versus an unincorporated organization. What does that mean? And also the trust concept, which I think has actually evolved on the email list to now be maybe a trust-like concept. And as Donna pointed out, there are elements there that even if you don't think the trust issue itself is workable, there are other elements of Strawman 4 that are worth you know, preserving and bringing in, whether or not they're done with a trust or not. Alan, I saw an expression on your face that I would like you to put into words.
I'm not sure which expression it was.
When I refer to using a contract as the,
yeah,
the power.
Only organizations that really exist, you know, as incorporated things can typically exercise contracts in many jurisdictions, if not all. And certainly if it's going to have the power to move this kind of contract, it's going to be real. And we're going back at this point to saying there will be another organization above ICANN, which is replacing IANA, and I'm not sure we've made that decision at this point.
Thanks. I guess I would just say it's not replacing IANA. It would be replacing the stewardship function. But
sorry, replacing NTIA.
Yes. Anyway, I think that's a good place where we can draw a line under this, hit the coffee and the pill bottle and gird for the next section.
Yeah, it's a useful discussion, but I think one thing we've just got to bear in mind, we have eliminated very little. If you look at the amount of yellow we've got in this section, so, you know, in terms of converging, we've got to work a little harder, it feels to me, at doing that. So
I can feel some convergence on the horizon for this one.
Thanks, Greg. All right, we'll see you in 20 minutes, everyone. At the top of the hour.
Yeah.